And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First in Acts 19:21. We have a fantastic element with Paul. He felt impelled or purposed or determined or resolved in the Holy Spirit. In some other translations, it interprets it that it happens with his own spirit. And so people are like, oh, one is right and one is wrong. So silly. People, this is a brilliant idea that is equally plausible. He can have an internal deciding taking place or something that must happen from his perspective. That's what it would mean if it was from his spirit. Or something else altogether where he feels in compliance or partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's probably the one to go with because it speaks to the best nature of the Holy Spirit being our counselor. But I won't yell at you if you disagree with me. Next, Demetrius shows up, a very wealthy businessman in Ephesus who was losing money. I want to say that again so you understand what happens. A very wealthy businessman in Ephesus who was losing money. And Paul and the people of the way were the people that he was blaming. What happens when people lose their money and their power because someone is teaching the truth? Again, I'll repeat that. What happens when people lose their money and their power because someone is teaching the truth? Those people, whether their life is politics, prophets, or both, those people freak out. His big complaint was that Paul was stating that a man-made God is not a God. Okay. See, now you guys just follow the logic. A man-made God is not a God. Now just think about the logic of that. I mean, that's just nutsy cuckoo. But finally, a mob gathers together, and as the crowd gathers together, it's nothing but confusion, anger, destruction, mayhem, with no actual idea what's going on or what they're doing. The Apostle Paul wanted to go in and address the commotion, tell everybody to chill, but the faithful believed it was a bad idea and said, no way. Sometimes it's the heart of wisdom just to avoid danger. Especially when the danger is birthed from nothing normal or nothing real, but from demonic sources.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Noive. So much more. Hey. Couple things. One, this is not professional radio. It's just radio. Number two, we want to know what you think. You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Or you can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. The telephone. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, get ready now. You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. All right, now let me give you a couple. Let's see how you feel about this one. Ready? Get ready. Ready? Ready for this one? All right. When you talk to Jammin' Jacob, it's the feeling you get when you're being appreciated for doing something you worked hard at. You know that feeling? That's what it's like to talk to you. Mm-hmm. You like that?
Yeah.
That's what it's like to talk to you.
Thank you.
That'll be another 350. Okay. I'm just kidding. And it'd be about 350. Okay, anyway.
Just keeps adding up. Yeah.
We'll just keep the credit thing rolling. So when you call, make sure you say hello to Jammin' Jacob. And I think that's a great name. That is really good. So he might change the sound. That's up to him. I've given him full authority. So that's up to you.
Yeah, I have a few ideas.
Okay.
That I'm working on.
Okay, you let us know. It's all into your hands, brother. It's all into your hands. All right, here we go. So if you've got a praise report, if you've got a prayer request, cool. We think that's tremendous. We think it's awesome. Not that you have a prayer request, but that we can pray with you about it. And I am going to pray for marriages because I have had an onslaught of people reaching out to me in the last 48 hours, probably about 4 different marriage situations. It's like, wow, that's a lot considering typically it doesn't come that way. So we're going to pray for marriages in a little bit. And that's for marriages that still have a chance. I'm just being honest about it. So we're going to pray for that and pray for the husbands and wives to be like husbands and wives. That would be a great idea. So we're going to pray for stuff like that as well. If you've got a praise report, something that the Lord has done. Now, here's what I'm going to say. It's really going to irritate a few people, but I love you anyway. And you have to love me because if I'm a brother or a friend or an enemy or part of your family, you still have to love me because you're supposed to love your enemies. So it doesn't really matter. Here's what I'm going to say unto you. Ready? Ready? Okay. Has God done anything awesome for you in the last week? And how many people have you told? See, that's a fair presentation. That's a fair question. It really is. So you have that opportunity to do that. You can call us. You can text us. You can email us. You can also tell me if you can answer this trivia question. This one's rather easy, but I'm forewarning you, the ones that are coming are much tougher. This one's easy, but the other ones are tougher. Here's your trivia question. How many days between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension? How many days between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension? If you think you know, yes, we've asked this before. How many days between the resurrection and the ascension? So he resurrects, and between that and going up to heaven. Remember, the ascension is in Acts chapter 1, where he goes, whoop, right? Okay. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Please be praying for Jacob, for Jennifer, for Don, not difficult to understand. Don't forget to throw up a prayer for D. That would be appreciated. And please be praying for the show. We were able to pay radio rent, which is good for the Dallas market. Anyway, see how he said that? So just keep us in prayer as we keep moving forward in this process. That would be very, very much appreciated. In the meantime, folks, we are in the book of Acts, and you are going to find out some very interesting things. I think they're very interesting. So let's go to Acts chapter 19, and we're at verse 21. Acts 19 and 21. In the next segment, I'll have Jacob remind me to do DNA because I forgot, and now I'm already going into Acts 21. So just remind me. That's not a big deal. All right. Well, it's a big deal to do it. He'll remind me. That person, that's a big deal. All right. Acts chapter 19, verse 21 says this. And I do like the Holy Spirit translation. I know others don't have this, but I think it's the best one. After Paul felt impelled by the Holy Spirit to go over to Macedonia and that place with an A-C-H-A-I-A. Before returning to Jerusalem, after that, he said, I must go on to Rome. He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, on ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. Here's what I want to talk about. This is a really interesting element, okay? The interesting element is simply this. There are times when the Holy Spirit of the Lord will, in fact, quicken you. Okay? Now, by quicken, what do we mean? What does that mean to quicken? And by quicken, it means stir in you, make you alive, make you responsive, make you like almost like it has to be done and it's pounding. All right? Now, we have somebody that's ready to answer the trivia question. I'm going to send him on through and then we're going to come back. So here we go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother. I want to remind you, you need to do a DNA.
I know he. Yes, we do.
In the next segment. Israel. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He really is. All right, brother, you got to answer this question. Ready?
Okay, it was 40 days.
That is correct, Amundo! It was 40 days. There's no coincidence there. 40 days in the desert, 40 years for Israel in the desert, 40 days for Jesus' temptation, 40 days for the ascension. 40, 40, 40, 40. Wow. Exactly right. Exactly what it is. Excellent job, bro. Excellent, excellent work. How are you?
Good. Hey, I want to also testify yesterday after receiving a prayer from you. My rest of the day was very productive.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Please keep praying for me. I mean, I do still have a little slightly headache or lightheadedness. So just keep me in your prayer, okay? And I believe that Lord's going to remove that.
You got it, brother. Absolutely. And I want the audience praying for you, too. That way you get a lot more people with a lot more faith combined praying for you.
Yeah.
Right?
And prayer works, folks.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It changes the world. Exactly right, bro. Thank you, brother.
And now I'm keep praying for the people that I committed to them about their phones. And I felt in my spirit this afternoon when I was praying, especially God is healing somebody who has a little issue with their nasal bone. So God is just clearing up that thing. I believe wholeheartedly that God is touching that person's nose, whatever that issue is, that he's going to fix it.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
For sharing that.
All right, brother. Thank you so very much. I'm on a highway, so I can't talk or pray with closed eyes. So.
Yeah, don't close your eyes.
All right, love you, brother.
Love you, too. Talk to you later.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. All right, so let's go back to this. I want to finish up on this test. It's so funny. Don't forget your DNA. like yes, he's like, you guys, don't forget. Okay. All right, so here's this thing, though, I want to talk to you about. So, look, sometimes there's an urgency inside of you, right? Okay, now this is not a real abnormal or weird element. Sometimes you feel just really like, hey, I got to get this. This is really important. I'll give you a couple of great examples. When I was finishing my doctorate, I'm just telling you right now, there was this urgency about 2 hours before I was having my examination. There was this urgency to review everything. And so it was just like, I'm pretty sure that wasn't the Lord. I'm pretty sure that was just me going, oh my goodness, in 2 hours I'm being examined. And so, you know, it's a lot of years of work and a lot of stuff in there. And I'm like, oh man. So I'm going after it. That's me. Okay. I got that. Right. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing weird. That's not a bad thing or anything. In this text, I think Luke is phenomenally brilliant when he writes. He wrote Acts and the Gospel of Luke. Remember, he's the only Gentile to write in the entire New Testament. He's a physician, not a doctor. There's a difference between a physician and a doctor. And so he writes, and he is very favorable to the actions of the Holy Spirit when he writes. Okay? That's a very important thing to understand. And so it's more common to understand he would write it that way, that Paul was quickened by the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit was like, got to happen. It doesn't mean you have to do it right that second unless the Lord tells you to do it right that second, but it's almost like, I want to say it this way, it's like a burden that gets thumped inside of your heart that you have to accomplish. Everybody who's listening to my voice knows that experience, but doesn't always identify that as the Holy Spirit. But guess what? If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, it is most likely the Holy Spirit. And what you have is this thing inside of you that says, got to get this. This is an accomplishment. It has to happen. And there's almost this partnership, and I think it's important to understand, and I know because of the Baptist part of me that sometimes the Baptists go, stop talking about the Holy Spirit, which is like ridiculous, right? And then the Pentecostals, stop talking about Jesus, which is like ridiculous. It's like, you don't do that. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not a weird thing. You don't fully understand God because you're mortal and I'm mortal. He's immortal, and mortal cannot fit immortal inside mortal's brain. Okay, got it. That's not complex. But the part that is understanding that there has to be a sensitivity on our side to that which the Holy Spirit dumps inside of us. And there may be something in you gnawing, just like it sits in you, and you just know this is the right thing that I need to do before the Lord. Never does it have to do with appeasing your flesh. Never does it have to do with worldly anything. If it's the Holy Spirit who testifies to the ministry of Jesus on this earth, it is kingdom burdened oriented. Just think of how much God has confidence in you that he would allow you to partner with the Holy Spirit in an issue that he wants taken care of. I guess he likes you, right? Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. So he gives the conclusion to the matter. He says in Ecclesiastes 2, I see is from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Only in God is there satisfaction. He says, this too I see is from the hand of God. Happiness is from the hand of God. Verse 13 in Ecclesiastes 3, that each of them may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. Happiness is a gift. Satisfaction is a gift. The graces for appreciating life at its fullness is a gift from God, and apart from God, it cannot be attained. Yowza! We're really going to the mat here, huh? So then you might say, okay, David, then what's the conclusion? What do you do then to get that whole process going? If only God can grant lasting happiness, period, what do we got to do? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Don't you love that? I mean, the answer's right here in the same book. And here is the answer. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. If you want God to grant you the gift of happiness, you fear him and obey his commandments. People are like, oh, no, there's got to be something else. Isn't there medication involved? Isn't there grandchildren involved? Isn't there this involved? Isn't there relationships involved? Isn't there, money involved and power and cars and houses and big TVs? No. Wasn't there food and wine? And what about all the medications? No. Well, what about becoming smart and brilliant and knowing and having degrees? No. You tell me partying doesn't do anything? Correct. You mean building a monument to myself does nothing? Correct. Happiness comes as a gift from God only. And so the conclusion of the matter is simple. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the duty of mankind. This is the requirement. Now, to fear God is to be in reverence of God. Honor, respect, awe, and appreciation. Every day, are you in honor, respect, awe, and appreciation of God? Yes or no? And do we obey what he tells us to do? You want to be a successful Christian? Do what God says. People, I'll be a successful Christian. That means X amount of money in the bank. It doesn't. Jesus didn't die and resurrect a billionaire. I mean, that's just dumb.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Before we do anything else, we're going to do our DNA because we don't want Samson to miss it or close his eyes while we're doing it because he's driving on the freeway. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so DNA is the building blocks that we kind of function in. It's kind of what we said. And how it works is it's just something that we embrace and live by. And the first of the DNA is D, and that stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. every day, you just need to spend some time with the Lord. So I had this privilege to talk to my son, Joshua. Now, for those that think, oh, Joshua's a young guy, he'll be 40 in December. Anyway, so I had this privilege to talk to my son, and we talked about prayer because he wants to increase his prayer time. And I ended up talking to Noel about this exact same thing later in the evening. And so for some of you who are like, you know, I really want to spend time with the Lord, but I don't really get it because I can say everything in 20 seconds. Okay, let me explain something to you. When you spend time with the Lord, it has to be separated time, separated from everything else, and your job when you're spending time with the Lord is not to run through the list. Here's my list. Okay. Sammy Davis Jr., a personal friend of mine. Okay, that's not what's going on. You slow your roll and take it down. And first and foremost, our Father, which first of all, it tells you our is inclusive. So it's not just praying about you. That's the first thing. Our Father, who art in heaven, the real center of the universe, is not your universe or my universe, even though we try to act that way. It's God's universe. And then all we talked about was this, was hallowed be thy name. And so what I said to him was, go through your day and enumerate your appreciation for everything that happened. That, I mean, you got home safely, had a great meal, it's tough at work, but I really appreciate you got me through it, anything like that. And then, and this is just the praise part, go through all the people the Lord has brought into your life that are a blessing to you, every one of them, and thank God for them. That's what drawing closer to the Lord every day, spending time, hanging out with the big dude, hanging out with the Lord is all about. That's draw closer to the Lord daily. D-N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I cannot believe how advanced in the last 5 years the desire for schools and governments across the world are to scratch. Wait. Not the Quran, but everything in the Bible. It's so weird. It's like, what is going on? If you are in England, you cannot speak in the public square if you quote scripture. Wait, it's a public square. That's what it's designed. Yep, sorry. And then A stands for always be ready
to serve.
To serve. So this is a big part of the Our Father. It's instead of my Father. It's understanding that our pursuit before the Lord is to care about, care for, think about, take care of, love on others the best we can. You can't just focus on yourself. If you do, it's going to be a very tight and very disruptive life. If you expand your universe into other people's universes, the first thing is God promises that other people will do that for you. And the second thing is that you are operating in the methodology that Jesus established for us to operate in. So carry other people's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's our DNA. Great job. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so we do have a trivia question. And I'm just going to give you as many helps here as I can, okay? This is a goofy one. I'm going to tell you who this was, but you're going to tell me where he's from. Who helped Jesus carry the cross? You know, the soldiers made him carry the cross. It was Simon. From where? Where was he from? The guy that helped Jesus carry the cross. Where was he from? And here's what I'm going to give you, your big hint, okay? All right. Here's your hint. The thing on an ambulance or a police car that makes the noise. What is that thing? What is that thing? Okay, that's what I'm asking. What is that thing that's on the police car, the ambulance, or the fire truck that makes the noise? All right, what's the thing that makes the noise? Wait, Aunt Deb. Yes, only it's spelled with a C. Here you go. We do have somebody ready to answer their trivia. They're ready to answer their trivia question? That is fast. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Will Rogers.
Hey, Will Rogers. How are you, sir?
I'm great. You're better.
I'm doing very, very good today. I appreciate you asking. So, blessing to have you call in. You ready for this one? This is a kind of a cool one. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Simone was forced to help carry the cross for Jesus. Where was he from? Do you know where he was from?
He was from Cyrene.
That is correct, Amundo! That is right! And so that's why I said the hint was the thing on the ambulance or on the fire truck or on the police car. What's that thing called that makes the noise? It's a siren. And so like siren, sirene. That was pretty close. But excellent job. I assume you did not need the hint. Is that correct?
Not a bit.
There you go, brother. There you go. Excellent, excellent job. And how are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. Still a little bit under the weather in terms of endurance, but.
Well, let me do this. This is a good time to do it. Let me pray for you and for Samson and for the people that are hurting in our audience. Will that be okay?
That would be fine, but throw in Dynamite D while you're at it.
You got it, brother. Let's do it. Ready? Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you and praise you for Will. He's just a great, great brother. We ask you in the name of Jesus to help him shore up, so to speak, the areas that he's feeling good, just needs a little kick, little push to get past. And Lord, we ask you to give him every ounce of that. And that's the same thing that Samson needs, Lord. We just ask you to give him every ounce that he can get right, get it just fully cleansed of all the stuff that's holding him back. And we ask you to bless not just them, we ask you to bless Dynamite D. Just give him a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to continue to grow in you and to advance in your kingdom and to do great things, to be a blessing to people. And Lord, I also want to take this time to pray for these people that are having a little bit of a hard time in their marriages. They're just real tough. Some people are right up against the wall. And what we're asking for, Lord, is those that have the opportunity to be saved, those that can turn to you, that you would bring restoration to some of those hurts and those pains. There's lots of healing that needs to happen, Lord, but not one thing happens that you don't notice. So these three that we ask specifically, for Will and for Samson and for Dynamite D and for all these people, Lord, in our audience that are hurting, that have relationship troubles, bring that distance to a close. Help those people unite. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
And amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
You too.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, so everybody needs to be keep praying for that. I think that's kind of like worthwhile to say to everybody. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it a little different. So I'm going to kind of throw in this at Jacob. He's right. We're going to take our break and then just come back and do whatever the other stuff is that we're doing because we never really know. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, if anybody gets offended at this, I apologize that you have no sense of humor. Okay. Like that? That's a good line. bam, bam. All right, here's the first one. A pastor was leaving his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church door for the last time. He shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out. She said, "Your successor won't be as good as you." "Well, nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been here under five different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Ouch! Ouch! But this one, this is the one that's going to offend people, which is irony, right? Because that's more offensive than this is, and this is just too... And if you guys get offended at this, I, you know, take a week off the show. It seems there was a minister who had just all of his remaining teeth pulled and new dentures were being made. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached 20 minutes. But the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded this way. "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures, and I couldn't stop talking." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. If you just called in and hung up, just call right back. We will get the phone. You got to, you know, when we're doing our intros, it's a little harder to pick that stuff up, so just be aware of that. Here we go. Let's see. We've got our next trivia question. Oh, wait, there's somebody on the phone. All right, we do have our next trivia question, but I'm going to wait because I need to see if somebody's going to call and tell us that we've got cookies and pizza coming. Okay, that's a joke. This next trivia question is the first time I'm ever telling you this. This next trivia question that I am going to ask after this, we're done with this caller, is this. The answer is not something that I'm looking for you to give an exact on, but to be ballparked. So after we talk to this person, you'll understand. It's one of the first times we've ever done this. But there is somebody that is ready to talk to us, so let's send him through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dr. David. This is Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Nice to talk to you.
Wonderful to talk to you. How are you doing?
I am a very highly favored and blessed.
Amen.
I am calling, I'm calling to share a praise and a prayer request.
Okay.
And thank you. Thank you for giving us a forum to do that so smoothly and enjoyably. I did get to ask my prayer group last night to pray for Noelle. And may I ask how your beautiful wife is doing today?
She is actually, she's doing a little better. She had a little hiccup yesterday, but today has been no problem day so far. So I am just simply saying, yes, Lord, do that all day long, Lord. Don't
Amen.
Stop, Lord.
Amen. We will keep praying for her and for you. Yeah, I attend such a wonderful Wednesday night prayer group of ladies, and they have been just so tightly connected and compassionate. We just cover each other's backs. We praise the Lord for that kind of forum.
Amen.
But thank you today, Dr. David, for sharing about all those prayer requests and for praying for marriages. And anybody who has listened to the show has heard my story, at least in part, that I have been married 39 years. I love the institution of marriage. What an incredible covenant. And God is so good. And I had many very lovely years. But when there is an unequally yoked marriage, there are challenges and heartaches. And in the past few months, I did need to file for divorce when things became so unjust. And when a spouse, a husband, does the unthinkable in regard to another person and I won't go into detail, but just saying that the Lord is our defender. And this morning in my prayer and Bible reading, I came across a note I wrote in Psalm 25, and it says in verse 2, you know, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." And in my notes, I wrote, "Show me, Lord, how to write and say an appeal for justice." This was about 3 years ago. And as it stands right now, I have a wonderful, godly Christian lawyer and paralegal, and I feel like that prayer is coming true. I've had the chance to write really prolifically about my experience, and I do ask for prayer for tomorrow afternoon. I get to meet with them and kind of, you know, wrap up some loose ends, and I just want to be prudent. One thing that's been requested of me by the opposing side are personal journals and emails. So I want to be wise, and I know the Lord will help me. Would you pray over me in regard to that meeting tomorrow, our beloved Dr. David?
Yes, absolutely. Let's pray. Let's come before the Lord and ask for his help. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and we lift up Joanne to you. Lord, she's a tremendous sister. She's a tremendous family member of the kingdom of God. We love her, Lord. She's phenomenal. People love her testimonies, love her prayer requests, love how she shares. And Lord, what we're asking for is she's got a situation tomorrow, and she needs help, and it's beyond her hand to be able to put it together exactly as maybe it needs to be put together. She needs divine help. She needs the anointing to fall on people that are helping her. We often pray, Lord, that you would guide the surgeon when there's a surgery. Well, we're asking for that same kind of guidance in the counsel of wisdom and in protection for your kids. And Lord, there's a clear-cut situation that's just as sad as can be. And then there's a petition to try and shame Joanne. And we are asking you to deliver her from that attempt to shame her, and to protect her, because she's your daughter. And we ask you to let it be, the resolution be just and righteous. Nobody's asking to beat out the other. What we're asking for is what you would even determine as righteous, as much as can be pulled out of the situation. And what we're asking for is a comfort that would take Joanne past the deep human fear and anxiety and care, where she would be able to settle, literally rest in you, trusting in you, not being afraid because of you. You made this promise to be with us. And Lord, you are true to your promise. You cannot lie. And you have told her you are with her. And I pray she would receive that and know that you being with her is sufficient, that you will help, and grace and mercy will prevail. We pray for peace, because it's tough and the enemy is going to still come at her. But your peace that passes all understanding can keep her. That's what we're asking you to pour into her mind and heart. And we pray it in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Oh, amen and amen, Dr. David. I received that, and I know the Lord is at work. And for all those out there who are facing similar unjust situations, and we pray for our enemies. We love them, and we want them to find the Lord, and that often does happen. So thank you. Love to everybody, and have a great evening, Dr. David.
Thank you. God bless
again.
You.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, so here's something. So while I was praying for Joanne, this is something that I was remembered that Noelle and I were talking about last night. This is just, if you can follow it, it's kind of a mind blower, okay? But I just feel like I just want to kind of share this, and everybody needs to hear this. So stop, you know, try not to be too distracted when we get into this, right? Listen to this. If you had a situation that was hard, okay, just a hard life situation, just like Joanne was talking about, or something that had to do with physical, financial, reputational, business. If you had a situation that was hard, it's really difficult, right? Let's be straight here. And in your midst of praying and in your midst of processing, listen, an angel broke into the room. Okay? I mean, angel. Like, you know, not ones in the paintings. One of the big ones that's described in Scripture. And the angel looks at you and you're like, okay, uh-oh, okay. And then the angel says, the message from the Lord is he is with you. Would you think at that moment, besides being really maybe scared initially, do you think at that moment you might think, okay then, it's a little different? A little different level of anxiety, because that's, you know, as I was talking to Noel about this and talking to Joshua, it would be a little different level of anxiety. It'd be a lot more confidence for what's taking place. That is exactly, I mean, who does not want to hear that, right? Here's the most amazing thing. In a billboard called the Bible, God already told you that. He already told you, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So in the midst of going through that really, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Difficult scenario, you want to hear a messenger from God. You want an angel to appear and show up, and he would do what? Affirm what God has already told you. The real question is, are we Bible believers? That's the whole, that becomes the whole separate issue. But God's already told you, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. And we would all be like, if an angel came in and told us, we'd be like, all right, then, I'm done. Okay, everything's great, right? God already did that. Only he used himself to write the book that it's in. What's amazing about that is that an angel is simply a messenger. God has already given us the message. And it just really comes down to believing and seizing. Believe it and seize it. This is not, you know, this is not pie in the sky. It's not like, oh, everything's always feels good and oh, everything's rainbows and Skittles. No, it's not. It's not like that. That's not true. We're not going to say that. But in the Lord, there is always a working process that makes it different than we think. And what we do is we're afraid of what the result would be. And God's like, I can't wait to show my kid the result. See how different that is, like when we do that? This is why Christianity is not a religion.
Oh, it's a bunch of religions, a lot of rules.
No, it's not. Christianity, and we've said it before, we'll say it 1,000 more times. Christianity is a living relationship with a living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And if your Christianity is less than that, you're robbing yourself. How about that? So I know you guys are going to pray for Joanne. And I'm going to pray for everybody's going to pray for. And you're going to pray for these marriages and for all the people that we mentioned. Because not only do you want people praying for you, you want to be doing what the Lord wants you to do. And that is coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, just be you. In that situation, let it all be you. You're not giving the final result. You're just asking God to declare what needs to be. Let the enemy be defeated, those who mock the Lord. Get that? Okay. We'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the skill, can't stand
the shame. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to do one more trivia question. I'm going to change my mind. I already told Jacob I was doing something different. Now I'm doing something different that I already told him. So there's no point in even trying to figure out where I'm going or what I'm doing. Just kind of follow along. Okay, here you go. This is, I'm going to do a teaching out of my devotions today. Out of nowhere, I'm going to pull this teaching out. Just wait. But before we get there, we're going to do the trivia question, okay? I am telling you, this is not a regular trivia question. I don't know how to say this in any other way. You do not have to have the exact answer because this is a humorous trivia question. Do you understand that? Humorous trivia question, okay? You ready? All right. How do we know that God has a sense of humor? How do we know that God has a sense of humor? Don't Google that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. The question is, how do you know? How do you know? Now, again, everybody's going to have kind of a different little answer. There's nothing perfect on this. Just relax. But the answer I have, if somebody gets it, you will really appreciate the moment. As Kurt Warner told me, appreciating the moment. Okay, so anyway, somebody is ready to answer? Send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. This is the weirdest trivia question I have ever asked. So I'm actually glad you're going to try and answer this, okay? This is what I'm going to say. So I'm going to give you the question. Give me the best answer you can. If it's the answer I have, I'm just going to say you're the most brilliant person in the world. No, I'm kidding. Okay, here we go. How do we know that God has a sense of humor?
Well, I heard one time that the people that had stolen the Ark of the Testament or dropped it or something, he gave them all hemorrhoids.
What? Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. All right. Wait, we're gonna put that down in the golden thing. All right, here you go. Ready? Here it is. Ready? If you are listening, ready? Okay. How do you know God has a sense of humor? Ready? Ready? Because He can take a rib.
Like that
one? He can take a rib. I told you it was funny. All right. Excellent job. You win the award, though. That is great. That is brilliant. I just want to give you props for that. Excellent job.
Okay. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Okay. Thanks, Deborah. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'll do a couple of jokes, then I'll do the teaching, because I do have these couple of jokes. And so I will give Jacob. Now, he's not used to this. He doesn't realize that all these jokes are brilliant because they've told him otherwise. They trained him otherwise that they're not brilliant, haven't they? They told you they're not very good. They told you that?
Yeah, but I was told to always never hit the laugh track.
Never hit the laugh track. That's what I have to deal with around here. Okay, ready? I got three very quick jokes. Two very quick jokes because the other one's not funny enough. Here we go. First one, it's kind of cute. Okay, second one, absolutely brilliant. Ready? What's a teacher's favorite candy? What's a teacher's favorite candy? Chocolate. Chocolate. Okay. All right, wait. It's all right, right? What did you think?
Yeah, I went ahead and hit it. Why not? That was a decent one.
Okay, this is a great one, though. Which two words have the most letters in them? Which two words have the most letters in them? Ready? Ready? Post office. Get it? Okay. Well, I probably deserve that. I'm not going to even deny that. Okay, here we go. All right, not going to do the rest of the Acts teaching. I'll just pick it up next week and just push it back. Here's what I want to read you, something from my devotions. And I just, when I get into stuff like this, I just like, I love stuff like this, okay? This is out of Jude, verse 5. So for those that don't know, Jude is the book before Revelation. Jude was a brother of Jesus. Won't even identify himself as a brother of Jesus, but he did identify himself as a brother of James. James, the brother of Jesus in Acts 15 is the one we're talking about. But he says this in verse 5, and I read this, and then I think of me and my need for this. So I'm thinking maybe this will be a blessing for somebody else. This is Jude, verse 5. It says this, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this." Stop. See, everybody's like, let's blaze into what that is. No, slow it down, okay? "I want to remind you, though you knew this." Wait a minute. There are so many things in the kingdom of God after 45 years in the, I've read the New Testament so many times and the Old Testament so many times. I mean, I'm not jesting there at all. But as I read this, I want to remind you, though you knew this, though this is a part of something you've already processed, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to tell you something. As soon as I read that, I highlight that in my Bible and I go, why this is important, and I even read it. The reason it's important is because even when we know something, we need to be reminded to keep it fresh. So, for example,
I'll use a really bad example.
I had to go to private Hebrew school. Most of you would just be crying. It doesn't matter, okay? 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Wednesday, and then 2 hours on Sunday or Saturday, depending on what they were doing, okay? All right, listen. As a kid, I had just the 2 hours, that was the synagogue time. The school time was 3 hours of Hebrew and 3 hours of English. 3 hours of Hebrew, 3 hours of English. 3 hours of Hebrew, 3 hours of English. And if you think that's bad, it's really bad. Here's the funny thing. So I grow up, right? I go forward. I then become a purveyor of recreational pharmaceuticals. I move on. I drop out of high school. Before my class graduates, I get my GED, and I'm in Bible college before any of my classmates are even out of high school, right? All that's fantastic. You know what I didn't keep up with that I had learned? My Hebrew. So when I went back into Bible college and I went back into the study of all this stuff, you know what I forgot? All the Hebrew I learned. You want to know why? I couldn't remember, you know, anything. I couldn't remember. I mean, when I say anything, I couldn't remember anything. I had to relearn the whole thing because I didn't keep it fresh and keep it in my mind. And the reason that I bring that up is because it's so blazoned in my mind and heart that I went through private Hebrew school for years, for a long time, let's just put it that way, up until I couldn't go no more. And then I knew that stuff, and I did my Haftorah, and making two or less mistakes when you do a Haftorah is amazing. I made one mistake, phenomenal, fantastic. And then after I grew a little, I didn't use the Hebrew, and I forgot it all. And I had to relearn it. Now, it was easier to relearn it the second time. Of course it was. But I had forgotten all of it. And what I want you to catch is I want to remind you that he says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this. We have to keep these things that are kingdom things fresh in our mind consistently. Do you know in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, 3, and 4, it says that the gospel saves you and keeps you. And when you think it's just old stuff to hear the gospel again, you don't understand that it's the power of the gospel that has brought you salvation. And to hear it time and time and time and time again, that is the answer. And so keeping things like that fresh in our heart and mind keeps us active in those things. So if there's a repeat that the Lord's teaching you, there's a reason. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on this program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.